Welcome to the Jamoti Podcast. We are all surrounded by amazing coaches and leaders. So let's get an inside look at not just what they do, but how they do what they do. After all, becoming the best versions of ourselves is Jamoti, just a matter of doing it. Coaches, the Jamoti Podcast is powered by Shoot 360. The future of basketball has arrived in Dallas-Fort Worth. Shoot 360 combines the latest sports technology with the fundamentals of basketball skill development. The result is a one-of-a-kind video game-like basketball program designed to improve your shooting, dribbling, and passing. Visit shoot360dfw.com to learn more and register for your free one-hour workout evaluation. Shoot 360, the future of basketball is here.
Let's hammer that point, because every coach I think listens to be like, yep, I agree with that. And yet every coach, and I say this in love, clarity is kind, Brené Brown, yeah. Clarity is kind. Coach, you say you love it, but I could walk into your practice right now and tear it apart with a lack of that approach. And not tear it apart in negative, but like I get it. Coaches, we get excited as coaches when we can help a kid, right? We see a player. Oh my goodness. I get to correct this thing. We love it because we know we can help, right? And yet we as coaches, when other people want to coach us, we don't want it. Like, oh, I'm defensive.
No
it's
doubt.
The most hypocritical profession that I've ever encountered. Coaches believe in coaching and yet don't want coaching. Most, right? And so like I coach coaches. This is what I do. And so I walk into a practice, I'm like, oh, let's tear it up, right? And usually it takes a month to get to a place where the coach is excited for feedback. A month of working together, which is, and I think you have something to share on that.
Well, we got to be careful that the Steve Nash quote that we all love to tell our players, you know, we have to believe in it too. Mm-hmm. And my least favorite thing, and I've shared this with you before, my least favorite thing about when I started with PGC was getting evaluated at PGC. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been coaching for a little while. I played a little bit. Just let me do my thing. I want these notes. And, or when I went to snaps the first time, we actually got on the floor and we practiced the question method. I was so uncomfortable with all of that, but you're right on the money. Like, how easy is it as we get older and we do this more and more? You mentioned earlier, the blind spots come, the slippage comes, and we don't even realize it at times before all of a sudden we realize, or we step back and we notice, golly, this is just not what it used to be, or I'm not what I used to be. I'm resulting a lot more than I used to be. But I think it's hard to have somebody like you or anybody come in and critique. But it's what we need the most, because it's what we do with our players every day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, this is, I truly believe this could be one of the most impactful two minutes for coaches if they could really get this here. And this is under the standard of simplicity. And you talked about it. Okay. Anything that a coach does, they should put through the razor of simplicity. And be able to ask this question. Why is this important? So when you say get back to the basics, most coaches cognitively go to the wrong place. Hmm. Oh, the first thing I was taught, or the first thing that I would teach a beginner, they think that's the basics. Reject it completely. This is not the first thing that you were taught. This is, why is this important? Reject anything you've ever learned. Approach it with a beginner's mind. If, like, what is the most important outcome of this thing? Let's use shooting, okay? I recently got to present and spend a weekend with Rob Fodor, who is the shooting coach for the Miami Heat, and responsible for the amazing shooting performances and transformations we've seen come out of that program over the past 4 to 5 years. And he and I immediately connected and got to spend so much time together. And Rob, if you're listening, I really appreciate your mentorship and leadership on this idea. Rob was a high-level basketball player, completely left athletics and worked in the private sector and was successful in the private sector for multiple decades. and came back to basketball when he was playing golf at a country club and was asked to play basketball 20 years after he'd played the game. Wow. And he got to the gym and shot the lights out after not touching a basketball for 20 years. And he's like, interesting, I'm still good at this thing. He said, I would be interested in teaching shooting. So he went out there and consumed everything in the coaching world about shooting. And after looking at it, he said, this is all wrong. There's not a single thing of value. He's like, everyone's just regurgitating the crap, the fundamentals, the basics that they were taught. And then I looked at the best shooters and none of them were doing any of the things that these people are saying. He's like, this is stupid. Basketball coaches cannot teach me how to coach basketball. That was his conclusion. And so he's like, where can I go to learn how to teach shooting? And so he went to learn how to teach shooting from anywhere that was not basketball. So he started studying kinesiology, like how does the body actually move? He went and read studies on cat movement because he was fascinated with this phrase of like quick as a cat, right? And so like all these coaches are listening to him talk, right? And they're like, this guy is bonkers. And he plays to that that personality as well, like the crazed mad professor guy, right?
Yeah.
He studied cats, he studied ballet, right? And built his shooting philosophy from rejecting everything and being like, what is the definition of shooting in four words? And basically is shoot ball at target. That's it. So simplicity wins. Like, so in anything a coach is teaching, you must first simplify it to not what we were taught, but what is the desired outcome? What is the highest and greatest outcome? What's the ideal of this situation? Shoot ball at target. Okay. If that is the simple goal of shooting, now let's build our system out of that. Don't build your system out of, okay, I'm going to teach footwork, or I'm going to have great form. Form is not the outcome, right? Shots going in is the outcome. And if you approached it from that, okay, we need to rebound better. Then we need to spend more time boxing out. No, you're wrong already. What's the outcome you want? Get possession, right? Okay, now if that's the outcome, how do I build a system out of that? And that's the step that coaches miss and fail at. And like, if you always follow the crowd, you will be a part of the crowd. You will not be special, right? Whereas the only way to leave the crowd is to reject the crowd and embark on your own path. And this is one step you can do. I believe that's what a savvy approach is okay, what's my simple objective? How simply can I define it? Right, Mike Nabors does this so well with their offense. He can distill it. You probably heard him teach this. He can distill their offense down to two words: our shots. Right, our offense gets our shots. Hmm. Okay, then you got to define our shots. Right, and everything is this helping us get our shots, or are we just running an action because I saw it on Twitter as a must-add action? Shut up, must-add action. Okay, like no, it's just like if you're just doing it because it said must add action, you've already lost because you're trying to imitate a personnel and a personality that's not yours. So like that is like, I think the approach of what you're sharing of like, get back to the basics and then define the basics.
Yeah.
Right. And for you, you've defined it as, you know, where the body contacts the floor. Right. That's very important. Right. Great. So then, you know, what I would ask you and anyone is, okay, why is that the most important place to start in order to shoot ball at target or put ball in rim, you know, and you probably have a great answer, but in that conversation, you're going to clarify your thinking.
I mean, obviously talking with you, I'm questioning every answer that I would give, but I would say, I mean, I'll throw it out there. I think starting from your feet, making sure your feet, I like the word comfortable. Yeah, you know, I think we should be comfortable. Your shot should feel easy and smooth. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea of flow from our feet. Everything that you talked about, ankles, knees, hips, ball movement, everything can flow like that reverse waterfall. Now, mm-hmm. The problem with everything I just said, well, that was like 16 words. So how do I take that and I make it even simpler from that? To me, the word is flow. Offense is flow. But from that, we can define a lot of things, or we can describe a lot of things, but that to me, great footwork, creates flow that you want throughout the rest of your shot. And I like the, I love the shoot ball at target. I'm an up and at fan myself of what's your shot need to be up and at, up and at.
But yeah, go ahead. That's good. That's good. And then like, okay, now you're rooted. And then from there, you have all sorts of systems, right?
But take apart my feet thing.
Okay. I think that feet is probably one part of your system. I like what you said with up and at, because up and at comes before feet.
Yeah.
It's your why, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you communication should result in repeatability. So when we communicate to a team or a group that we're leading, if they can't repeat us verbatim, our communication isn't simple enough or clear enough. It doesn't matter what we articulate. It matters that they can repeat. And repeat is multiple things, but two of them are they can actually say the exact same words and they can repeat the action, right? Yeah. And if they can't repeat it, then you shouldn't move on yet.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's where we as coaches kind of fall apart. So I think that like for you, like whether it's up and at or whatever, they need to be able to repeat up and at and understand why are we working on our feet today? Because we got to shoot up and at, right? Or because we got to have flow or whatever. Like once they can repeat it, then it can play itself out in feet, you know, whatever, all the things. So I would agree. So personally, I would start somewhere else, but acknowledge that I think feet are foundational. I would start with sequence. I would start with sequence. Obviously, you know, chicken, egg, we can have this conversation. It depends. There's no right answer, right? I find that more shooters miss because of poor sequence, which a lot of times we as coaches call rhythm. Like we say, oh, that was in rhythm, that was out of rhythm. Well, what rhythm actually is a repeatable sequence. If we're trying to shoot ball at target, right? How the ball sequences up with our body movement is going to determine whether or not the shot is on the line or can even get to the target. It's how we generate our power, right? And so setting the feet, like you were talking about, starts the sequence for most players. Okay, you ready for this? This is going to...
Let's go.
Okay. I believe that starting the sequence with the feet causes most shooters to miss. Now, I believe feet for balance, which we agree with, right? Feet for balance is essential. But here it is. When we start our shot with our feet, we're actually slowing down our shot and the ball's losing power. So from whatever we call, you know, a load position, set position, whatever, when our hips are at the lowest point, let's call that the load position, okay? When the hips are at the lowest point, the ball's what has to move furthest.
Right.
Right. Our feet don't move very much. Like when you think about ankle flexion or jumping, our hips don't move the most. Our torso sure as heck isn't moving. It's the ball. And so when we start the shot with the feet, the ball is always behind. When the ball is behind, we're out of sequence. Think about it.
So they're jumping. The ball is still at its low point. And exactly. Then as they're almost connecting that, transferring that power through, the ball isn't at the point yet where it has to actually use that power. So exactly. It's late.
Exactly. And in every form thing that we as a coach correct is a product of poor sequence. Poor sequence equals poor power generation. So they have to find a way to get power on the basketball. Two hands, piking their body, leaning back to give themselves more time to push. Overturn, all of those things are outcomes, are byproducts of poor sequence. And I believe in feet. Okay, I'm not hammering feet. I just think that when we focus on setting feet and the feet are set before the ball is set, we're always behind. And so I actually think ball first, both ball to set. And so how would we actually train this? There's all these cool drills that I've been messing with, and I would love to share them with you. But one simple breakdown is off the catch, and this is a travel. Let's say we're working on a 1-2 footwork or like a step in footwork, and not a, what I'm calling an airdrop right now, because people know about airdrops, okay? Which would be like an airborne receiver. So I would actually have them catch, pass, or self toss, or dribble. I don't care, whatever. Set hands, load hands tight to body, and then 1-2-step shot. And we would call that a tune-up in our pre-practice. So what I'm actually triggering is I'm focused on hand speed before foot speed. Okay, then we would go into the next level of it, which is going to be catch, load, step with the first foot. So my hands are already set before the second foot actually plants and fires.
Yeah.
Right? Because when we focus on feet, the hands are always getting behind.
Yeah.
Right? Then third step, okay, is going to be now we're going into live trying to get our rhythm or our flow or easy ball. Whatever.
You don't have to say it like that. You don't have to rhythm or flow.
Just because I
love the word flow.
And I love the word flow.
Keep going.
All right, anyway. So then we're going hands, feet, without traveling, right?
Yeah.
And so like that would be a sequence that we would do, because think about walking, right? And this is something that I do with players. I'm like, okay, Dante, I want you to walk slowly this 15 feet. And obviously Dante's arms are going to move, right? I'm like, okay, Dante, I don't want you to focus on walking faster. I just want you to move your hands faster, but don't walk faster, right? And he moves his hands faster, and guess what happens? He walks faster.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Hands control our speed. Like, you know, like even like arm swinging sprinters, right? And so the fastest way to speed up feet was like speed up your feet, speed up your shot prep. Yes, yes, yes. But the fastest way I found to actually speed up shot prep is speed up hands. Then the feet will follow. But when we speed up feet and the hands get behind, we've lost. So like that's the biggest thing that I'm focusing on right now in shooting that I've seen a lot of regular results on.
All right. So in order to speed up hands, one thing we used to do, I got Micah Lancaster idea, but shotgun shooting, where I have my feet maybe a little bit wider than normal, ball right in front of me, and I'm going to slam that ball down as my mm-hmm. hips drop. It pops up into my hands and it moves up really quick. Yeah. Is that an example of something we can do to get our feet moving quicker, or our hands moving quicker.
Yes, it is. I'm going to get my basketball here. This wasn't on the list. Here we go. All right. So yes, I like that. And in my experience, that is maybe a higher level one. I wouldn't start with it.
Okay.
I think as another teaching principle, if you can't do it slow, you can't do it. If you can't do it slow, you can't do it. And so as far as,
well, like, have you changed then from speed first?
Because
that was always a big thing. And I'm still mm-hmm. a believer when I get them just, and I do start with their feet, but yeah. getting their feet on time or the way that they want, either a drop or a step, and we just increase their speed. It's amazing how the imperfections of their shot just kind of go out.
Go away. Just go away. No, as a principle, haven't changed from speed first.
Okay.
It's like that's the outcome, right? Remember going back to like, you know, the simplicity.
Yep.
Okay, what's the highest and best principle outcome here? We want to speed up their shot. Because if we speed it up, everything, okay. How do we speed up their
yeah.
shot? How one tool would be, if you can't do it slow, you can't do it fast.
Okay.
Right? So the outcome is we're trying to get speed. So this would be an example. So sequence, and this Rob Fodor, shout out, got this from you. So this is a visual sequence, and every coach, you can do this with your players. We want you to shoot in sequence. Here is an example of sequence. The goal is to get the ball going upwards right here. I'm going to just lift my hand and tap the ball two different ways. Here's way number one. Bounce, tap. Bounce, tap. Okay, that's way number one. Here's way number two. Bounce, tap. Bounce, tap. I didn't move my hand any harder or faster. I just put force on the ball at a different time. On the first one, I put force on the ball as the ball was coming down. On the second one, I put force on the ball as the ball is going up.
Yeah.
That's shooting. That's just shooting. Like yeah. when you put force on the ball, that's in sequence. So that's what we have to figure out. Okay. So that's our outcome, right? And we want to do that faster and faster. Okay. So how are we going to train it? And I think shotguns, I call them blasters, a great way to do it in sequence. but I would always do it in a shooting sandwich. So a shooting sandwich would be regular shots, what I call load shots. Then we would do some sort of a tune. Shotguns would be a tune. Break the chains that I'm about to show you would be a tune. And then we put the other piece of bread on the sandwich and shoot regular shots again, right? And that gives us our measurement, right? Okay, feel our normal shot, feel what this brace or this tune-up does to our shot, and then feel it impacting our shot again, right?
Yeah.
That, like we do that. We can't just go do blasters and expect it to change it. Like we have to kind of bookend it a little bit, right?
I like that.
So break the chains, or basically it's the chain, as I'm calling it, is the chain that most players have between the ball and their hips, right? As the ball goes up, the hips go up, okay? That's the chain, right? That. Well, if the hips start when the ball does, and the ball has to travel this far, and the hips have to travel this far, if we go up together, I've lost my power before I'm putting force on the ball, and that's like hitting the ball on the way down. We have to break the chain between our hands and our hips, between our hands and our feet. We got to break that chain. The hands have to be first and the hands have to be fast, right? Okay. So what one way that I do this is, they're called break the chains, is I want to break the chain between when I load the ball, which loading the ball for me is we load it tight to our body and we get some load on the wrist here. Load the ball. Okay. And load my hips. I want to load the ball before I load my hips. So I'm going to step and dribble at the same time. So my left foot's going to hit the ground at the same time the ball hits the ground. Just in place. It's not a big step. I step and dribble at the same time. And then I'm going to hop into my shot, airdrop into my shot. Now, when you have players do this every single time, they're going to gather the ball as their feet hit the ground. It's just natural. They can't not do it. They're going to go together. And I'm like, no, you cannot go together. You must load the ball before your feet hit the ground. It's going to take them 10. It's the simplest thing. Okay. It's the simplest thing to actually do it first. You can see me doing it. They can't do it for the first 10 minutes.
Wow.
Because there's such a strong connection they've built over time between their hands and their feet. So what happens when we focus on feet, and all coaches do it, is their feet, hands, right?
Yeah.
And then, uh-oh, I'm late, and I got to do all this weird stuff. And they have to have really, really great hands in order to fix it. And that's why there aren't a lot of great shooters, right? And so if we just do these break the chain shots, which I would do in that middle of the sandwich, instead of shotgun,
yeah,
right. But I would eventually get to shotguns, right? But this is a little bit easier and a little bit slower,
yeah,
right. So that would be like step one of break the chains, and then we get to like all the sorts of cool stuff where we have to like pass fake and get to load before our feet hit the ground, or we got to like go behind the back before our feet hit the ground, right? Because it's all just teaching ball around body,
yeah,
instead of body around ball. Right, which is ball handling, passing, finishing, right, all of it. So anyway, that would be an approach to shooting. Again, we haven't talked about form once,
yeah,
right?
Because no, I love that, yeah.
So and it is leading to, which I love, it's leading to speed as a way to get speed. Now, can faster feet get speed? Absolutely. But if we're out of sequence and you add speed to a bad sequence, it actually gets worse. You know, so sequence. Now, speed fixes form, like we've talked about before, right? And so I think what I've learned in the past, year and a half is, okay, sequence, then speed would be maybe where I've shifted and learned a little bit.
Thank you for checking out today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast, share it with your fellow coaches, and find us on social media for what's coming up next on the Jamoti Podcast. It's just a matter of doing it.